This episode of Lawyers Tell All is brought to you by the Intake Academy. Are you ready to convert more callers to qualified cases, rapidly qualify good cases, and transform unqualified prospects to advocates for your firm, whether you're able to handle their case or not? Visit www.intakeacademy.com and discover how to cement relationships with more of your ideal clients. Get them to commit to you and send you more referrals than you ever thought possible. Welcome to the Lawyers Tell All podcast, where Chris Mullins, the preeminent sales and communications consultant in the legal industry, shows you how it looks through lawyers' eyes. Here, innovators in the trenches provide powerful insights that help you connect with new clients, handle the sometimes harsh realities of the legal profession, and embrace the mindsets needed to succeed. Be sure to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, lean in, tune in, and let's take a deep dive.
It's Chris Mullins with Lawyers Tell All, and here we are with another interview, and I'm going to be interviewing Joy Vitale. Did I say your name right?
Vitale.
And
I'm we're both butchering it, according to my cousins who live in Italy, so you're all good.
I was going to say, you know, a little Italian, but what if it's not? So I'm going to let Joey, which sounds pretty Italian, introduce himself. Go ahead.
Well, hey, everyone. I am honored to be here. So I am an attorney. I'm a trademark attorney. I am also, as we'll get into, a team building and leadership expert, because I have identified in my own firm the secret weapon of virtual team and all overseas VAs. And we're now helping other business owners and law firm owners leverage that same secret weapon.
So go ahead and tell us about the birth of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like you told me a while ago.
Absolutely. So I was, as I shared first with you, Chris, I was really ushered into going to law school because of my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad he's in the construction world. He knows next to nothing about law, except his belief that it's a safe thing to do after you're done with undergrad. So he was like, Joe, you should go to law school. I said, okay, Dad. And when I got there, quickly realized that I was the only person in my class who really did not like to argue. And I spent several years, both in law school and in my first job out of law school, really trying to work on what I saw as a weakness in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Of not being that shark in the room. There were people at my law firm that I first worked at that tried to talk me into going by Joe instead of Joey.
Okay.
Because they said, oh, hey, who would take a Joey seriously in the courtroom? And after years of working on that uphill battle, I eventually decided to go out on my own. And I realized that in a different context, in this small business protecting world, those same qualities about myself that were seen as a real weakness in the courtroom were kind of like the duckling turning into the swan with this group of business owners. I worked with just like the coolest group of entrepreneurs when I started. I put out some blog posts that had me go viral in the Etsy community.
Mm-hmm.
So in my first year as a law firm owner, most of my clients were grandmas on Etsy. And you can't ask for a better client base than retired grandmas who were just doing what they love online.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty stressful. I didn't have much of a team when I started, and at the same time had pretty high goals for myself revenue-wise. And about after a year after we launched the law firm and focused on trademarks, I started having panic attacks. Eventually was sent to the hospital because the panic attacks were getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I've since made a full recovery. But while I was in the hospital, I was mostly terrified about the law firm and what would happen to the clients if something happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I made my recovery, I realized that I had to do everything that I can to make the business less dependent on me. Mm-hmm. So that if something did happen to me, that clients were taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
What I've since realized is that decision that I made, really for my own health and wellness,
mm-hmm.
also has just been crazy helpful for the business.
Mm.
Because the more the business is designed to operate without me means I can go on vacation, I can take a month off, and the business can still have a really great sales month mm-hmm. and take care of all the clients. So and not just me,
right.
but anybody on the team can right. confidently take time off knowing that others on the team can step up, fill in for them while they're gone.
Mm-hmm. And so what, you know, that's a terrible thing to go through. And I'm sure there's a gazillion lessons in there, but also the other positive I see about it is I would imagine team members at the law firm and that you have now, you're probably a pretty empathetic guy. And you probably think about team first.
Yeah.
And this is what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's missing.
Yes. It's really crazy to see now that there are people on my team who I know have left other firms, other companies that yeah. were paying them significantly more
mm-hmm.
because the business owners there were not great leaders to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a team first mindset as a CEO, mm-hmm. no one's going to want to work with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think that is? Like, why is it that, you know, law firms, they're just, I mean, I've been working with law firms for 30 years
mm.
and, you know, I'm still finding that it's a big challenge changing that culture.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is business owners in general
mm-hmm.
have this sense of wanting to protect what they built, of my business is my baby,
mm-hmm.
of putting their own, you know, I designed this business so I could have X life.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, all of these people are working for me and my compelling reason for starting this instead of something bigger. On top of all of that, I think that lawyers have been particularly conditioned in law school to be perfectionist issue spotters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this pattern that I do team consulting for business owners, including law firm owners, but not limited to that audience. And I think law firm owners in particular have this idea of if my team isn't working perfectly, mm-hmm. they're failing.
Mm-hmm.
Which law school did not help us with that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I understand it. But the part that I still see is that all that being said, if you're brand new at the firm, I can see you're still getting through those challenges and trying to work it out because you're brand new. You just started your firm. But if you've been doing it for a while, I think you've been around long enough to be able to do what you need to do, do your due diligence and take care of it, you know, so that you have a healthier team and it's all focused on wellness and team first, because whatever you provide to your team is what they're going to give to the prospects and the clients.
Yes. Yes. I think one thing that has come up a lot recently with the companies that I'm working with is this idea of whenever you trust anybody, and particularly trusting your team,
mm-hmm.
there is a risk to that. there is a risk to trusting others, especially if you're trusting them to do work that you were doing before you hired them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But there's often a bigger risk to not trusting them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think we all can relate to knowing what it's like to someone not trusting us in a relationship and how that feels.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's one of the, one of the classes that we teach is about trust, and the acronym is BRAVING, and it's with, Brené Brown. So yeah, everybody should just check that out, like free video on YouTube. But BRAVING is B for boundaries, R for reliability, A for accountability, V for vault, I for integrity, N for non-judgment, and G for generosity. And the V for vault, I'll just tell you briefly, is what you tell me in confidence, I will hold in confidence.
Yeah.
But I expect you to do the same for me. And yes. The real big little aha about it is, for an example, is that, because everybody will go, yeah, that makes sense. But it really is sent home when you think of this. Let's just say you're telling a team member something, you know, that you're not supposed to, something about another internal team member or a department or a manager or whatever. Well, while you're given the juice and you're doing that, and the person that's receiving it is feeling like, okay, I'm hearing, but deep down they're thinking like, I can't trust you, because right. If you're going to do that about that person, then you're going to do that about me.
Right. Yes.
So
yes,
I agree with trust.
On a similar yeah. note, we've created this rule across our team, because trust is one of our core values. We have this rule of, we call it extreme no gossip, which is no one will ever say anything bad about you with you not in the room unless it's absolutely necessary for us to do so.
Yep.
Especially when you're working in such a virtual capacity. I mean, I don't have any local teammates here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Creating that layer of trust across the across the team, that you don't have to be worried about us gossiping, spreading drama about you in Slack channels or emails or yeah. phone calls that you're not in. Just letting everybody know that, hey, if anybody has a problem with you, they're going to be talking to you directly about it. And if you're not in those conversations, you don't have to worry about any of that being the case.
Mm-hmm.
The only real exception to that is if it's like a performance issue where, if it's deemed necessary or appropriate for someone to tell me about something that happened, 9 times out of 10, it's not necessary to not have that person in the room. And so we're going to say, hey, I want to hear this, and I don't want you to tell me this without the other person being here. So let's schedule a call and all three of us can talk.
That's super. That is excellent. That's great. And so that kind of leads me into Skybreaker, right? So tell everybody about Skybreaker.
So Skybreaker, I've learned since I started my law firm that I'm more of an entrepreneur than I thought. And the law firm just couldn't handle all the different offers that I wanted to put out into the world. And so Skybreaker is our way of helping other businesses on the team side. And it's as much as I love being an attorney, and as much as I believe in the impact that we're making in terms of giving people peace of mind that their brand is protected. And you know this, Chris, it is so much deeper to know that you're helping people with their teams, and you're giving business owners the peace of mind that their team is getting stronger, and it makes business growth that much more effortless when you know you have a team going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking to business owners constantly about the struggles of sales and marketing, and putting a website together, designing your logo, all of that initial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take long as you're growing your business
mm-hmm.
for all of the other issues to be secondary to team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And being able to help business owners on the team side is just my favorite thing to do.
It must be like an amazing, awesome moment when you feel that a client gets it, that they go from worrying about, you know, all the details to really realizing, well, wait a second, it's the team. And if I take care of the team, everything else will kind of fall into place.
Yes.
It must be an amazing, like, teary moment.
it really is. So what we do is whenever we talk to a new business owner who's interested in Skybreaker's services, working with us in some capacity, what we like to do is get a sense of, in our language, which CEO phase they're in. Mm-hmm. So CEO phase one is true solopreneur. It's just them. Mm-hmm. Phase two is the hustler phase. Maybe you've got a VA or two, all the way to phase five. Phase five is where you are the visionary and you've got a full leadership team that's supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we have two main offerings. One is global vetted VAs, which is a particularly good fit for a true solopreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can help them get from phase one to phase two
mm-hmm.
pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we offer is a program that we run every quarter called the Supercharged CEO. And it's a 12-week accelerator program where, again, we identify which of these five phases you're in. And by the end of the program, you're in the next phase.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. Plus, it's great that you could show that, you know, here's where you are.
Yes.
Here's what's going to happen. And bam. There you are.
Yep. And so many people love the idea of eventually one day getting to phase five.
Yeah.
But we've learned that you cannot skip phases.
Right.
And so this will be our third time launching it in June. And we're just getting more and more mindful of the fact that we really have to get clear on, okay, which phase are you in? Mm-hmm. And how can we help you build that bridge to that next phase? And mm-hmm. it could be the case that you just keep jumping quarter from quarter until you get to phase five. But we, as a phase five law firm, one of the things that has been true for us that we're seeing happen with other business owners is there's this myth out there that if you want to get to that phase five, if you want to be a visionary with the full leadership team that's supporting you, that you have to be a multi seven-figure business plus.
Mm.
We were able to hit CEO phase five before we hit 500K for the year.
Wow.
And so there are definitely ways to be mindful of revenue, budget, looking for adding layers of team in certain ways, because yes, investing in team is an investment, but it doesn't need to be your whole budget.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, it makes me think about, so I often wonder why law firms are still, the law firms that don't have a true intake team, whether it's attorneys doing the intake or intake, you know, individual team members like inside sales, why they still have not created that formal team that can handle prospects, convert them, give an amazing experience, you know, close the sale, love, care, and concern, all that. Why? And so I think the only thing that I can come up with is it's easier and faster to throw money at leads, just keep doing that to improve conversion, than it is to get in the weeds and let's put out these fires and take care of it. So this, the same idea of like, you don't want businesses that you work with to just kind of throw virtual assistants out there. You want them to know like why.
Yes.
And exactly what they need to do instead of, okay, Joey said, okay, so we're going to do it. Right.
Right. One of our big mottos around our global vetted VAs is we recommend strongly that instead of trying to outsource your problems, you delegate your solutions.
That's a great way to look at it. I like that.
Yeah. Instead of saying, here's this problem, VA, you deal with it, saying, hey, we've created this SOP on a recurring basis for you to follow.
Yeah. And you don't want the business owner, the managing partner, whatever kind of business it is, you don't want them to look at, hiring virtual assistants as shiny objects, the next shiny object. Oh, flip the switch and it'll work.
Right.
You'll have to roll up your sleeves and do the hard work.
We 100%, we say, your team can only be as good as your processes and systems are. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why the secret weapon of overseas VAs works so well and is a secret weapon is you are not paying them $5 to $10 an hour as a starting rate for them to just be super skilled, experienced masters that can handle whatever you throw at them. Mm-hmm. The reason why it works so well is because you're creating that McDonald's-like assembly line in various parts of your business. Mm-hmm. And instead of paying someone $15 an hour plus here in the US to just follow those administrative directions, it changes the makeup of what your team chart can look like. And it says, okay, we're going to have automations doing whatever it can in the company. Mm-hmm. Then for everything that we can't automate, but it's still pretty admin level, we send that to overseas. Mm-hmm. And then if there is more team delegation need at a higher skill level, that might be something where we look more US-based. Mm-hmm. And because we've delegated stuff, because we have this layer of a more profitable overseas team, we have more of a budget to invest in those higher skill-based job positions.
Right. The only thing is, though, your client still has to do their due diligence. They can't just throw everything at the overseas team. They got to make sure that they throw solutions to them.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And we are a big fan of, number one, recurring projects. Mm-hmm. We like to tell everybody when they start working with us that one of the worst things you can do when you bring on a new teammate is to look for just one-off assignments for them. Yeah. Because very rarely does that domino into work that keeps them busy and just kind of self-managing over time. Mm-hmm. We're a huge fan of getting your first VA started in certain types of tasks. Mm-hmm. Initially, what can be a really great process or recurring work is executive assistant type work, where they can be managing your emails, managing your calendar, managing your to-do list. Mm-hmm. A lot of business owners really want to start getting their overseas team into fulfillment work, into helping serve clients.
Right. Yeah.
If you do that, one of the biggest mistakes that we see people make is they delegate work to VAs on client work that is not streamlined. They have all of these different offers and services. And so it becomes very difficult and complicated to train a VA on how to do it because every client's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. It's not scalable.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons why we niched down into trademarks, because we identified that as an offer that we could create that where we really build an assembly line around it. So what we have done, what we recommend businesses to do, especially law firm owners, is if you have client-facing work, identify what we call the assembly line client work and the non-assembly line client work. And prioritize your new overseas team on that assembly line client work first.
But Joey, do you help everybody to do all this? Do you coach or teach or consult?
I used to.
Does your team?
The team does. One thing that we have is just speaking on the topic of team being a cost, mm-hmm. once I started bringing on team, especially US-based teammates, I had pretty transparent conversations with them about the fact that as much as their work was highly valuable to my business, our business was not at a place where I could bring them on full time. And so I said, hey, rather than trying to create a lot of pressure on the business right now of hitting big sales goals so that we can bring two or three of you on at full time, I am happy to connect you to all my business friends who need fractional, higher level team support. Mm-hmm. And we continue to this day to have a team set up like that, where our US team is very fractional, high level. And one thing that we are now offering is essentially like you rent my leadership team. So mm-hmm. it is a by design temporary kind of a position where for 3 to 6 months, certain people on my leadership team will come into your business and basically warm up the seats of management or leadership yep. while mm-hmm. you find other people to fill those roles.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I think that's really great. I think like some of the lessons, you can always get lessons. It's like reading a book, you know, you can get so many lessons like in a book and so many lessons on a podcast, much more than you even thought you would if you're really paying attention. And so a lesson right there is for all businesses, law firms, any kind of business, are you warming the seats yeah. for the new team members that are coming into your firm or being promoted, or are you just kind of like throwing them in?
Yes, that's right? Yes, absolutely. And in terms of identifying which seats need warming up, yeah. One of the systems that we look to the most is our team chart. Mm-hmm. We follow a traction-like process where it's more about the roles than the person. And mm-hmm. so our team chart is very role-specific. Most people's names are on our team chart at several places mm-hmm. because they're filling different hats. And if anybody wants access to a template of what our team chart looks like, you can go to skybreakergroup.com/systems. Mm-hmm. And we have a systems guide with some of our favorite systems that we share with our clients.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's excellent. So are there most of the positions that you fill for Skybreaker, are they mostly like assistant, executive assistant, higher level?
Yeah. So global vetted VAs through Skybreaker, that is a overseas virtual assistant placement service to help people get to those again. And that can be really helpful in getting you from phase one to phase two in terms of how we talked about those CEO phases. In terms of getting to phase three and up, that is where our supercharged CEO program really comes in, because it's not really as much about placement. I'll be honest, at that level, usually it's about your network, word of mouth. It's a lot of just friends of friends who are applying and are good fits. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot that goes into getting to each one of those extra phases.
Right.
But the way that we think about it is, first, you want to just have that experience of bringing on teammates, having them help with very entry-level administrative jobs. Mm-hmm. Then the goal is to create coverage for those entry-level jobs, so mm-hmm. that if one of them yep. either gets pregnant, goes out on vacation, leaves, you as the business owner don't have to get brought into the weeds to do that work.
Mm-hmm.
The next phase is to replace you as a manager, where you're no longer managing everything. After that, we have to get you out of leadership, where you're no longer leading. So we like to say that managers manage things, leaders lead people. Mm-hmm. So managers are the ones who are inside of our process management tools, checking in on deadlines, reporting in with people saying, hey, X is due. What do we need? Leaders operate at a higher level.
Yeah.
So leaders are leading the managers.
Mm-hmm.
And then as visionary, you're leading the leaders.
Okay, that makes sense. So basically, it's mostly admin kind of roles, right? Entry level admin, and then it probably goes
to get from phase one to phase two to phase three. Yeah, a lot of that is a focus on admin, and I appreciate you saying that because a lot of times people make what I think is the biggest mistake of trying to delegate first the hard stuff that they don't want to do. And they're like, you know what? I'd love to just bring on another attorney who could do all legal work for me. That I don't want to speak in absolutes. That might work great for some people, but we've seen it time and time again. Either it doesn't work or it works well until they leave. You're back.
So
we've found it's a much more sustainable path to just focus on those $5, $10 an hour tasks that you're currently doing and get those off of your plate first and turn those into snowballs over time. So you're doing less and less.
Okay. And so do you ever get to the place of like inside sales, filling those roles or customer service or anything like that?
So we, in terms of placement?
Yeah.
No. So the only placement that we do is global vetted VAs. Yeah. And we try to focus on what we call Swiss Army knives. So what we tell people is, look, if you're just hiring administrative teammates, all that you need to look at is, are they a good culture fit?
Yeah.
And can they follow instructions?
Right.
If you have 3 to 5 of those on your team, you'll be set for a while. And then that all, if you then bring on someone doing sales, they will love you because the fact that you have this layer of overseas Army VAs means that they don't have to get stuck into the weeds doing that administrative work that they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think it sounds exciting. It really does. You ought to have like an airplane with a skybreaker on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, do that. And you can bring everybody all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And have your t-shirts and jackets for, are you a 5 law firm? You at a 5? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Awesome. That's excellent. Okay. Any last words for everybody?
You know, what's very top of mind for me right now is, as business owners and as law firm owners, I know that we all have various things that light us up and money that we want to make and mouths that we want to feed with this law firm. There's a lot of things that drive us to do this. But if you're a law firm owner, I'm willing to bet that freedom is pretty up there as one of your values. And if push ever came to shove, I wouldn't be surprised if you decided that you would rather have much more free time than more money. At a certain point, as your business grows, you can make decisions, you know, once all of your ends are being met and families being fed and everything else. It's like, okay, how much more money do I want to make? What's what's like a lifestyle gap there? And what are things that money can't buy that time can?
Right.
And I can't tell you how grateful I've become to go on family vacations, to travel with my wife, to go on other business masterminds and get to know other business owners, and to be the one person in the room who's not having emergencies on my phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing my dad, who, again, he was the one that sent me to law school. He hasn't retired yet from his construction business that he runs. We went on vacation over Christmas and he was yelling on his team every single day, every single meal. It seemed like he had to leave the room and get on a quick call.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have had the focus on building the business with the team and trusting the team the way that we've been talking about has been such an incredibly valuable gift that I can't put money on.
Yeah. Peace of mind, right?
Absolutely.
peace of mind. Okay, how can folks get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, you can absolutely shoot me an email if you'd like to learn more, or just chat at joey@thebusinessgrowthadvantage.com. And again, I really want to recommend this systems guide that we've created. Mm-hmm. We've decided to make this available for free to everybody. So if you go to skybreakergroup.com/systems, we'll send you this really helpful ebook that breaks down the most valuable systems that we have in the business.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I really appreciate it. Everyone needs to reach out, get that guide, and make a commitment to kind of go forward and see what you can do to have your own team with solutions, not taking care of the problems. They can be happy exactly. And they can have fun, and you can be happy, and you can have a peace of mind. So upward and onward, everybody. We'll see you again real soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye, bye-bye. Everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into Lawyers Tell All, where Chris Mullins takes you on a journey with lawyers in the trenches who show you the realities of what it takes to succeed in this chaotic, crowded, ever-changing profession. Remember to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on Lawyers Tell All.